Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're on Instagram, make sure you follow us at TSN1050. If you're not, sign up and follow us, even if it's the only account that you follow. Because if you're a big fan of the show, you've got to know what's going on behind the scenes. On Instagram, at TSN1050.
This is Overdrive on TSN1050.
Brian Hayes, Dave Feshchuk from the Toronto Star. Tim Kirkjian of ESPN, MLB Insider, will join us at 5:30 ahead of tomorrow's trade deadline. And the Jays are kicking tires on a number of deals. They've got some older guys on expiring deals that you think potentially could be moved. I think Granderson, there's a chance he gets moved. Maybe Solarte, Clippard, Axford out of the bullpen. Maybe Estrada, maybe, you know, who's now healthy and going. And if he can show anything, he might be someone who a contending team can take a flyer on as a depth kind of guy. He's not going to get you huge value because he's not pitching to the same caliber that he was a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, when he was money for them. He really was a consistent arm for about 2 years, give or take. Donaldson, John Heyman, MLB Insider, sending out a tweet in the previous hour that he's expected to join the team in the next month. But this is such a Blue Jay injury that nobody knows where he's been, nobody knows what his progress is, and no one knows when he's coming back. They have no idea with Donaldson. And now you've got the best story going in Toronto sports, which is Lourdes Gurriel Jr. going 11 straight games with multiple hits. And now he gets injured last night. There's a pretty good chance, because he's a Blue Jay, he just won't ever play again.
That's a good point.
He'll be on the DL the rest of the year somehow.
I mean, it would have been difficult to imagine a scenario this apocalyptic for Josh Donaldson, right? Like, where you thought you had this incredible asset a couple of years ago. You had this MVP caliber guy. And at the very least, you know, you'd re-sign him. At the most, you would trade him and move forward into the Vladdy Guerrero Jr. era. And you'd get all kinds of prospects back into your system for Donaldson, and everything would be great. And now you're looking like you may get absolutely zilch for him, and that's the most likely scenario.
Steve Phillips said last week he doesn't think the Jays would even qualify Donaldson because they would be afraid he would accept it.
Yeah.
That's how ugly it is. That's not even rock bottom. That's below rock bottom.
That's below bottom.
Like, rock bottom would be trading him now and not getting much in return, but getting something, and maybe there's some hope those pieces turn into something. Below rock bottom is he doesn't get healthy, you can't make a trade, and you don't even want to qualify him because you know no other teams are going to sign him anyway because they're not going to give up the peg, and you don't want to qualify him because you're actually afraid that he's going to accept it, and then you got to pay him whatever it is, $30 million. Yeah. I don't even know what the number would be. So you just let him walk. It's and that's amazing. Becoming a legitimate option right now.
Well,
like, he doesn't play at all this year, and then they just say, thanks for everything you've done, see you later, and they get nothing. Nothing for him.
Especially, as you say, because there's such a mystery surrounding what's actually going on here. Is he working out in Florida? What is his status? Where are we on his rehab from whatever various laundry list of injuries he may be suffering from or may have suffered from in the past? What kind of miles are actually on this body that's going to be 33 in December? I mean, and what don't we know about the condition this guy's in? Because it can't be good, right? If this guy was on the precipice of coming back, they'd be advertising it like it was, the greatest deal in history that's about to come down.
They're itching for something positive here. They need something positive. They still got a lot of games. There's 2 months left in the season. There's a lot of tickets to be sold. There's a lot of people you're trying to attract into your program. Not to mention they could still potentially trade him in August. You know, if you place him on waivers or if someone claims him, you work out a deal, whatever it might be. So you're right. If he was on the verge of return, you would know it by now.
For sure.
But that's obviously not the case. You know, he's just simply not. And to be truthful, even if they were saying that, I'm not sure how many people would believe it anyway.
Well, exactly.
You know, like with the Sanchez example is a better one and a more recent one because Donaldson's kind of been banged up all year, even though Sanchez, it feels like he's been injured collectively for 2 years as well. But he left with a reported finger contusion, and anyone that was willing to listen was going to hear from Atkins and Shapiro and Gibbons that, no, it's not, it's nothing. He's going to miss maybe a start. And No one has a clue what's going on with him. No one has a clue when he's coming back.
That's a great point.
Nothing. It's just complete. It's crickets on who was supposed to be your ace stud pitcher this year, who's coming off an injury from a year ago that felt career-threatening in terms of blisters.
Oh, yeah.
And my radar's been going off since day one that that's exactly what he's dealing with again.
You have to believe
you
it.
You have to.
We don't know it.
But they suspect it. They went as far as to try to supply a smoking gun. Like, no, we know it was from luggage or something like that. We know exactly. Yeah. There's no way a finger bruise keeps you off the mound for a month and a half. Like, it's just not possible.
No. Especially when you've had this incredible history of blisters and fingernail issues waylaying your career, like he's had. I mean, it's extremely concerning. Whatever's going on there with Donaldson, with Sanchez, obviously with Osuna, you stack up the list of guys for whom there are massive red flags. It's so depressing if you care about this team.
It really is. Like, and the Gurriel Jr. injury again, it's depressing. This guy's making history.
Yeah.
Finally, you've got a reason to tune in. It would have been must-see TV tonight in Oakland. I got to watch him hit.
Oh, yeah.
I got to see if he can extend the streak. Can he get to 12 straight games with multiple hits? The record all time, Rogers Hornsby owns it with 13. He's two away from the record all time. Back in, like, whatever it was, 1923 or something.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing, isn't it?
Like, this is a remarkable feat that this guy has accomplished here. And, of course, he gets injured.
Well, and the beauty
Why wouldn't he get injured?
Like, the beauty of Lourdes Gurriel Jr.'s run here before this unfortunate injury is that he added another name to the list. Because for so long, the only thing that anybody who was spinning the optimistic spin about this team could say were, can't wait for Vladdy Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette to show up. And the list stopped at two, right? Mm-hmm. Jensen down there catching in Buffalo, they see him as the catcher of the future. But
Reed Foley, they try to promote names that just, they don't stick.
Right. But this guy, to be doing what he did in the major leagues, to be on historic pace for a record that, you know, has been in the books for nearly a century. I mean, that, you needed a feel-good story, and that was one.
They finally had one.
They had one.
They finally had one, because they're not ever calling up Guerrero Jr. this year.
No.
It's not going to happen. They're not going to wait. They're not going to start the clock on his contract.
No.
They're not. And what would be the point if you've waited this long?
It would be silly.
If you were going to do it, you should have done it 2 months ago when he was hitting .420 in AA. Prior to the injury, prior to this collapse, prior to all of this kind of toxic vibe surrounding the team, just it doesn't make sense anymore. And Bichette's obviously not going to be in the cards as well. So you're right. I mean, it was a third guy that you could name. And really, they need somebody else to be available for hype outside of Guerrero Jr. Because even Bichette is miles behind him.
Oh, yeah.
Miles.
There's huge question marks. Will he be a major league talent? I mean, there's so many question marks until you get there.
There's still question marks with Guerrero
for sure.
Jr.
Can he play a position in the field?
Absolutely.
You know,
like, yes, his numbers are off the charts. He feels like he can't miss. I mean, when you're ranked number one by the majority of scouts, then there's obviously reason for hype and optimism. And I can't wait to see him up here. I am looking forward to him having a long career, hopefully in Toronto, and hopefully it's a great career. And the safe money is on that happening. It's
for
him
sure
coming up and lighting it up. But until he gets here, we won't know definitively. And if he doesn't have some sort of support staff here with other people you can focus on, you're setting him up for failure, quite frankly.
Yeah.
You're setting him up to have way too much pressure on his shoulders.
You're setting him up, you can almost see, you're setting him up to be a Carlos Delgado, a guy who was a great individual talent that played in an era where the Jays had zero success.
Yeah.
And you're
now, the difference is Delgado came out, like, he was coming up in the early to mid-90s where they were coming off, like, the height of success.
Yeah.
And
so
I know
the comparison's not exact.
Right. But I understand what you're saying in terms of them not having enough around him. So
right,
he never was in playoff contention when he was the man here. But the point I'm making is, at least then, they were coming off such a high. And I know in 15, 16, they made the playoffs, but that feels like years ago now.
Yeah, but it's only 2 years ago.
But they also didn't win the World Series. They didn't even get to the World Series.
Fair.
You know, like, our expectations have been lowered so significantly over the past 20 years that a couple of stints in the ALCS, we're going to active. It's just like the Leafs in 93 and 94.
Sure.
We treat that as if they won the Cup. They didn't even make it to the Cup either year. They didn't even get to the Stanley Cup final. But we treat it like that was the greatest accomplishment they've ever had because it's the only thing they had for so long. But at least when Delgado came up, there were still some guys from those big teams that were there and other focal points. If Donaldson just walks for nothing, and that's becoming likely, Tulowitzki's who knows what is going to happen with him ever again. Russell Martin isn't what he was because he just can't play the way he could play.
No.
Who is going to be a shield for Vlady Guerrero Jr.?
Right.
They need someone. And maybe it has to be kids, because that's what the Leafs did. But they all came up together. It wasn't all Matthews all the time. It was Marner and Nylander and other guys.
And that's the thing. You understand that about successful rebuilds. It can't be a list of one or two or even three. You need a long list of guys
right.
to make it real. And if all of a sudden Aaron Sanchez is a question mark and Roberto Osuna may be thrown over the side because of his act, as an antisocial character who just faced a 75-game suspension, is serving out the remainder of it until Sunday for his problems at home. If all these guys are taken off the list all of a sudden, what does that say about the future around Vlady Guerrero Jr.?
You need a safety net. Johnny Manziel taking first-team reps in Montreal. They're at home Friday night against Hamilton. And it sounds like he's going to start and chat about that. We're joined now by our main man. We haven't caught up with this guy in a while. Our TSN football analyst, Dave Naylor. What's happening, Dave?
Oh, lots. Busy times, gentlemen. Busy
I guess
times.
So, man. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot going on. And we're going to get to the Jerome Messam stuff and Randy Ambrosi and his stance and all that. But in terms of Manziel, I mean, I got to put the Toronto connection to it because the Argos are now down to their third string. Yeah. We all know Ricky Ray got injured. Yeah. But they were pumping the tires of Franklin as if it was just the greatest acquisition in offseason history. They give him two or three starts, and they're like, this isn't going to cut it, and they're on to their third string. Mm-hmm. I know it's retrospective analysis, but is there any chance Jim Popp looks back on the Manziel deal and thinks, maybe I should have kicked some tires on that scenario?
I think the problem is the head coach in this case was not a Manziel fan. And if you know anything about Mark Trestman, I think it's, he likes guys who are all business, that don't have distractions and don't have the kind of issues in their past that Johnny Manziel had in the National Football League. I remember doing an insider last year on June the 24th, Hamilton at Toronto week one. And one of the subjects of my insider was the Argonauts will not be making a play for the rights to Johnny Manziel because, he's just not somebody Mark Trestman desires to be the leader of his football team. So, that was well before Manziel was prepared to come to Canada. The Ticats, I think his rights were available at that time. And look, for the league, marketing-wise, it would be the single most powerful thing they could do in the marketplace to bring people, bring young fans in, all those kinds of things. But I think you also have to respect that a football decision was made, and we all know what happens in sports when you start making marketing decisions. Although, if Johnny Manziel, 8 weeks from now is lighting it up in the CFL, that decision is not going to look any better than it does right now.
With Dave Naylor, our TSN football analyst, I just want to point out breaking news. It sounds as if Roberto Osuna has been traded to Houston. Ken Rosenthal reporting that is the case. So we're going to wait to find out exactly what kind of details come out of this. Tim Kirkchin will join us in about 15 minutes. I didn't see that one coming. We were talking about this in the previous hour.
Yeah.
The reports have been out there that Osuna was being shopped, and it was Rosenthal that was saying he was being shopped. It was just a matter of whether or not a team would actually take him. He's still currently suspended, and we know that his court case is still ongoing up here in Toronto. And I don't know. That's got to complicate things, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know. I don't know how the Astros and the Toronto court system work that out.
And we're going to know when we see the haul, when we see what they get back, we're going to know how complicated it was.
Right, exactly. What kind of leverage the Blue Jays had, if at all. Or
right.
If this was simply, he can never pitch for us again.
Exactly.
So if you're willing to give us anything and take on the baggage, you can get it. We'll get to that a little bit later in the hour. Again, it sounds like Roberto Osuna traded to Houston. As for Manziel, I mean, do you sense there's any problems in Montreal? Like I saw that, is it Vernon Adams Jr.,
yeah.
I think, after the game last week? I think you were in the room where he's like, I'm not talking about Manziel.
Yeah.
And he said it loud enough to make sure that Manziel heard him. Like, is there any controversy potentially brewing there in terms of how Manziel's just going to get this job on a platter? And even though he's never taken a snap in the CFL, it's almost like it's Johnny's league right now.
Well, I think it's always, Brian, a challenge for guys when they have that kind of stature in the CFL. I mean, as you know, the CFL is kind of an everyman league. And, like, I remember Rocket Ismail having trouble, you know, just blending in with his teammates 25 years ago, you know, when he was playing for the Argonauts. And, you know, there have been similar things that have happened with guys that have big names and backgrounds. Doug Flutie was the exception, you know, a guy who maintained a celebrity status sort of beyond any other player in the league. For eight seasons, and yet also seemed to fit in with his teammates. You know, just kind of blended in and became a great CFL player. But, I think Manziel's gone from one circumstance where the road was blocked to one where the path is wide open. The problem is that he's entering in very desperate circumstances. I mean, the Alouettes are 1-5. You know, they spent all their money on defense in the offseason. They've given up more points than any team in the league. As we know, playing quarterback is not like being traded to a team and going and playing on the blue line. And you know, it's different. And so, you've got to sort of evaluate. So they have hitched their wagon. And I got to understand why Vernon Adams, and I don't think he did it out of spite. I don't think he did it. He just thought, I'm not going to play 60 minutes of football and then answer questions after a game about a guy who stood on the sideline and has been to two practices. And I think that was reasonable. And I don't think he did it, in a kind of a nasty way. And as you said, he did it right in front of Johnny Manziel. And I believe he turned to him afterwards and said, no offense, man. I'm just not going to do that. And I think that's fair, but it is going to be, a complicated thing because they've got so much stake in Johnny Manziel now. And if he starts to cut corners and gets away with things, and we've known that in the past, that's been, part of his reputation, then that's where it could, I think, potentially, rub guys the wrong way. It's a very delicate situation, I think. Say, as opposed to if he had got there on the opening day of training camp and they'd been able to sort of groom him into the role and decide when they thought they were ready. Right now, look, and let's take this a little further. Montreal lost its last 11 games last year. They're 1-5. Do that math. That's 1-16. So, I think everybody is in kind of, well, what have we got to lose territory in that from everybody in the organization? And that's not always an ideal situation to be stepping into, but that's what Johnny Manziel is going to step into Friday night.
Friday night, Hamilton in Montreal on TSN. We look forward to it. We'll cut it short. We'll get you back on down the road. Thanks, Dave. Always appreciate it, buddy.
No problem, man. Take care.
There's Dave Naylor, TSN football analyst. So, again, the breaking news, courtesy of Ken Rosenthal and other MLB insiders, Roberto Osuna has been traded to Houston. So we don't know what the haul is. We haven't heard any details on what's coming back. Houston was the team that the Jays traded Liriano to last year and got Teoscar Hernandez in response or in return. And that worked out to be a brilliant deal for them, quite frankly, because Liriano was a fifth starter that was broken down that they were dying to unload. And Hernandez has become an everyday guy for them. I don't know what his future is going to hold, but he's got some pop. But are you seeing anything in terms of what could be coming back here?
Rosenthal, let me double check that this is the actual Ken Rosenthal account, because you always have to be careful about that. But it looks as though it's Ken Giles, the 27-year-old reliever with a 4.99 ERA this particular season with the Astros in 34 games. He's part of this deal.
It's Giles Plus. Okay, Giles Plus for Osuna.
So Ken Giles doesn't jump off the page as, wow, we score big here.
That's it. We'll see what the plus is.
Sure.
But if it's Giles and, the 25th ranked prospect in the organization, this was the Jays effectively calling every team in the league saying, please take him. Please. We could never have him pitch for us again. And if you're willing to give us anything in return to make this look like an actual trade, we'll do it. And now, Houston's got to deal with the repercussions because they're taking on a guy who's coming off he's in the midst of a 75-game suspension, Osuna. We still don't know all the details of what happened here with the case, where it's going, but it's still in the courts. Nothing has been determined in terms of what the court system is going to do here in Toronto and in Ontario. So I don't know how that's going to affect everything. I mean, he's going to have to get a work visa, I guess, because he's a Mexican who's been playing up here in Canada, and now he's down in the States, so that kind of makes it sticky. But Houston's the World Series champs, and they got a great team. Maybe they're thinking, listen, we can put up with some bullets that are going to be sent our way. He's got an incredible arm. I mean, we all know who Osuna is.
He's got great stuff. He may have the best stuff of any Blue Jay right now. There are people who will make the case that when it just comes to pure stuff, Roberto Osuna is the most talented guy on this roster.
He's an absolute beast of an arm out of the pen. Like, he's a legitimate all-star closer in this league.
Right.
And the Yankees just acquired Zach Britton. Houston's acquiring Roberto Osuna, Britton coming off injury concerns, Osuna coming off personal life concerns.
Right.
But if Osuna can come back and act as if nothing happened, if that's possible, and just return to form, Houston just brought themselves an absolute stud into the organization. And obviously they're willing to deal with the PR ramifications, because there will be some. There's no disputing that. There will be media members in Houston that will chastise them for this. There will be members of their fan base that will not be happy because of what Osuna currently represents. Without and he's got to wear that. He got charged, right? But innocent until proven guilty. We don't know what's going to happen here with the court system. But baseball said you're guilty. Baseball said you're guilty because they gave him a 75-game suspension.
He didn't appeal it.
And he accepted it.
He accepted a 75-game ban from the sport that will end Sunday. Now, you talk about baseball. As a baseball move, unless we see some serious, you know, additions to Ken Giles as the haul in this trade that the Blue Jays are getting back, this is a disaster. This is the Blue Jays throwing an article of radioactive baggage out of their charter plane over the side. Like, right. this is just saying, we got to get rid of this guy. He can never play for us again. Doesn't matter what we get back, because Ken Giles, a 27-year-old reliever.
With bloated numbers.
With bloated numbers. This is not a return.
No, it's not. And he's got, you would think, no future with the team. I mean, it's not like they're thinking, oh, those numbers are deceiving. He's actually got great stuff. He's a determined asset in terms of who he is and what he is.
Ken Rosenthal is saying it's Ken Giles plus. So let's wait and see. But as it is, this does not look as though the Blue Jays front office has scored big with this.
No, and this may have been determined the second he got arrested.
Yeah.
This may have been all the way up the chain. It may not have been Shapiro and Atkins. It may have been the corporation who said, well, that guy can never play for us again.
Yeah.
And
you can understand why.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's an argument to be made. At the very least, he should not be playing again for your franchise while this domestic violence issue is before the courts.
I can't imagine baseball's happy about this either. I cannot imagine baseball's happy with this, especially considering what's going on in the baseball world right now.
Yeah.
We've got three players over the past 2 weeks who have had old tweets resurfaced of them tweeting out racial epithets, homophobic comments, and like three of them in the past 2 weeks. And now you've got a guy being traded while he's being suspended for alleged domestic abuse.
Yeah.
Like, what? There's no way this optically feels right, or that baseball can be happy about.
And now you're facing a situation where, you know, Osuna will be eligible for the playoffs,
and he's playing.
He'll be playing.
Houston didn't acquire him to not play.
No.
He's playing.
And they're the World Series champions. There's every reason to believe they can defend that title. They're good enough to be in the World Series again. So you could have a situation where, you know, 2 years ago you had Aroldis Chapman, who'd been suspended 30 games for domestic violence, closing in the World Series, despite all that baggage, despite the fact that there was incredible controversy around him even playing baseball, because certainly there were franchises, the New York Yankees come to mind, who didn't want him to play for them anymore. And the Chicago Cubs said, you know what, he can play for us. And
well, the Yankees didn't have a problem bringing him back after he won that World Series.
Well, it's a good point. No, but it's obviously circumstantial. But at the moment of his trading to the Cubs, he was radioactive, as is Osuna in this case.
Well, and a lot of it is in the moment, right?
Yes.
Like, when he returns, the story develops again. Here is the guy who's been accused of something heinous, and he's coming off a 75-game suspension. Let's speak to him. Now, he will have the luxury of having the translator. He won't be speaking directly. He's not doing radio interviews in Houston, or he wasn't going to do them in Toronto. He won't do one-on-ones or anything like that with TV networks, because he'll run from it, quite frankly. But in the moment, it's a PR problem. I mean, it's a very complicated PR problem. The problem that the Jays are going to have is, down the line, if the dust settles, the case could be dropped. Who knows what's going to happen?
Right.
The details may never get out. Osuna could have a 15-year career loaded with all-star appearances and great performances in big games. And the Jays may look back on it and say, maybe we should have handled that differently. But I'm not going to take a run at them if they felt like we have to take a moral stand here.
Well,
that's the explanation. And I can't picture it being anything other than a moral stand, because you're a team that is in distress in terms of what you are on the field. You're a disaster that needs talent.
Right.
You need talent. This kid is, what is he, 23 years old?
23 years old.
23, and he's a stud. There's no way you're trading him based on his arm or his performance on the field. This is obviously you saying, as a corporation or as a ball club, we can't have this guy wear our uniform anymore.
And this is them saying, we know more about what's gone on here than anybody else knows.
It also could set a precedence going forward. If any other player in the future gets accused of anything, is he going to get dealt?
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, and you like to say, on one hand, you like to say, hey, you want to see your hometown franchise have standards. I agreed with the idea that this guy should never pitch for the Blue Jays so long as this matter is before the courts. Until we know what happened, until this matter is settled, until more information came out, I thought 75 games was one thing. But the idea that he was going to pitch for the Blue Jays on Sunday in Seattle when that 75-game ban was up, it didn't seem right to me. It didn't seem right that an organization would allow it to happen. And now we find out maybe the Blue Jays, we don't know what motivated the Blue Jays to make this move, but you can speculate that they didn't like the idea of a guy in the midst of a domestic violence case of this nature would be pitching with a Toronto logo on his chest on Sunday.
I don't blame them for that. You can totally wrap your head around that.
Yeah.
Like, the team that's got to explain themselves is Houston. Like, even if Jays fans don't want to hear it or don't like it or feel like, you know, you just gave away a big asset, blame Osuna for that. Osuna's the guy who allegedly put himself in this position.
Yeah.
But Houston is in a position now where they've got to explain what they've done here and explain why they've acquired a guy who is currently being suspended for allegedly a heinous crime.
But you talk about precedent and how this might set a precedent in Toronto with the Blue Jays for the behavior of their players. Well, the precedent was set by the Cubs when they allowed Aroldis Chapman to be part of a World Series-bound team. And they had no qualms with picking him up because guess what? He may be accused of domestic violence. He may have served a suspension for domestic violence, but he could pitch.
Yes. Well, and that's the reality that I think the Astros are banking on right now.
Right.
They're going to get blowback today and throughout the rest of the week, and scathing takes will be sent their way, and people will say, we're going to protest, we're going to turn. If they win another World Series, there will be 500,000 people in the streets celebrating.
Exactly.
And they know that that's going to be the case. Because a lot of times people talk a big game, but they don't actually follow through on it. So they're willing to inherit that risk. What I wonder is if baseball is going to take this example and implement a rule in the future where guys that are currently serving suspensions cannot be traded. Like, I wonder if that should probably be set in stone, wouldn't you think?
I mean, yeah.
I just think optically, like, what are you doing? How do you trade a guy who's currently suspended for something like this?
Well, you know, it's amazing how people absolutely ravaged the NFL for the Ray Rice scenario, right? People ravaged the handling of the Ray Rice scenario, especially when the video came out. And maybe the difference here is that there's no video. It may or may not exist, but we don't have video of what happened with Roberto Osuna in the domestic violence case that's before the courts in Ontario right now. We don't have any visual evidence of what went on. And so there's nothing, you know, you don't put a face to it. You don't have a scarred, beaten face or a woman being, you know, decked in an elevator a la Ray Rice. Mm-hmm.
And that may still come out. Who knows? Nobody knows the details of it because of our court system.
But it's amazing. You're right, though. It's amazing how Major League Baseball doesn't seem to have a problem with this. That
right.
A contender can just say, yeah, domestic violence and all that, and 75-game suspension and all that, which he's still serving,
which carries over to Houston.
But we want to win the freaking World Series.
Right.
And we're going to. And we're the Houston Astros, and we got Roberto Osuna on our club now.
Breaking news, Roberto Osuna traded to Houston for reliever Ken Giles plus. We're waiting to find out what else could be included in the deal. Tim Kirkchin, ESPN MLB Insider, will join us for his take on this next. All right, so breaking news this hour. Roberto Osuna has been traded to the Houston Astros for Ken Giles, who's a 27-year-old reliever. His numbers have not been very good this year, plus more. We don't know what that is at this point. Tim Kirkchin of ESPN will join us in a moment. Hopefully he's got some details on this. But the rumors have been out there for the past couple of days that the Jays have been actively trying to unload him. And Ken Rosenthal, who broke the trade, tweeted out, I believe, earlier this morning that they were really pushing for it. The debate was, and Dave, you and I, we had this conversation in the previous hour, would any other team be willing to take this guy on, considering he's still serving the suspension? Like, this isn't 6 months after he returns, or even a few weeks after he returns. He is going to Houston now, and he remains suspended.
Through Saturday.
Through Saturday. So the rest of the week, Houston's playing, and he's now a part of the Houston Astros organization, yet he's not available to them because he's still suspended for alleged domestic violence. And the Blue Jays, I don't know if these details will ever come out. I'd be quite curious to find out if the second he was charged, they decided he's got to go. I remember the Ross Atkins press scrum following the arrest was somewhat surreal because at no point did he back up Osuna. At no point did he say, innocent until proven guilty. He came out, and I'm paraphrasing here, but basically we take this very seriously. We don't like what we're hearing. And they know a lot more than the general public knows.
Well, that's
the thing.
The
Blue Jays know actually what happened here, and maybe they know what else could happen in the future.
And what could come out.
In terms of details.
Details that could come out.
Could come out. Even if they know that they're out there. Let's say there's some sort of just groundbreaking evidence that may or may not come out. It may never go public. The case could get dropped.
You know, and, of course, in these cases, the groundbreaking evidence is always video.
Right.
Because we saw in the Ray Rice thing, when it was Ray Rice accused of domestic violence with no video, that was one thing. But once the video became public,
changed
you saw the
whole
heinous nature of the crime. When you saw Ray Rice brutally assaulting this woman, everything changed.
Ended his career. That was
ended
it.
His
ended his career and put the heat on Goodell and company, unlike any time in his administration as the commissioner of football. So maybe the Jays are bracing themselves for that or just making sure that they're never in that position. But now Houston has to take that on because Houston's got to be doing some digging, too. They've got to know what the allegations are, what the details are. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is ESPN baseball analyst and insider Tim Kirkchin. How you doing, Tim?
I'm well, fellas. How you doing?
Well, busy, I'm sure. I mean, the trade deadline tomorrow, and we've been prepping for you to be on, and we were going to get into a number of topics, but obviously we know what the main one is now. Roberto Osuna being traded from Toronto to Houston this hour. Are you surprised that this deal got done?
I'm surprised, and I'm not surprised. First, the not surprised, the Astros needed somebody for the ninth inning, and that kid has great stuff, and he's pitched in the postseason, and that part doesn't surprise me. The rest of it does surprise me that the Astros would take a chance on somebody who's serving a 75-game suspension, and he's going to be rusty, not to mention what's he going to be like mentally, physically when he shows up, and you're going to bring him into a world championship team. This is confusing to me why the Astros would do this, other than the obvious. They need a closer. He's been a closer and a good one, and he has great stuff, but it's way more than that.
Optically, I can't imagine baseball is ecstatic about this because of what's been happening the past couple of weeks with old tweets resurfacing for guys like Josh Hader and Trey Turner and Sean Newcomb. And now you've got a guy who's currently serving a suspension for allegedly a heinous crime, and he's being dealt to the World Series champs. I mean, how do you think baseball would be responding just to the optics of this deal?
Well, they can't like the optics of this deal. And I don't know how anyone can really like the optics of this. When a domestic dispute is front first and foremost here, that's very tricky stuff to begin with. And I think we still have to wait until the entire legal case is finalized. We have to see where things are on August the 5th, and then we go from there. But this has to make a bunch of people uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable talking about this because I don't know all the facts of this, but clearly the Astros have to have done their research on this to make sure they're getting somebody who's going to be able to pitch for them when his time is up with his suspension. But this is very tricky stuff.
When you look at what's been reported so far, I'm not sure What we know, we do know that it's been reported that the Blue Jays will receive in return for Roberto Osuna, Ken Giles, a 27-year-old reliever who does not have great numbers, 4.99 ERA in 30-some appearances this year. Any idea what else we can expect? It apparently is going to be Giles plus here. Is this going to be any sort of return Blue Jays fans can be happy about?
Again, that's a difficult question also. Ken Giles has his own baggage, certainly not anything close to what Osuna has, depending on how this goes from here. But Ken Giles was sent to the minor leagues in part because he, did something on the mound with his manager that you just don't do. You hand the ball to the manager when he comes to get you. Anything beyond that is unacceptable, and that's one reason he's in the minor leagues, not to mention a lack of production. So what the Blue Jays would be getting, if this is indeed the deal, and if indeed this all goes through, they're going to get a reliever who's close in the big leagues, who's got great stuff, who throws close to 100 miles an hour, but you need more than that to pitch in the big leagues and pitch effectively in the ninth inning, and Ken Giles has taken a step back in his career in the last calendar year. There's no way around that.
With Tim Kirkjian, ESPN analyst, MLB analyst, again, breaking news this hour, Roberto Osuna traded from Toronto to Houston for Ken Giles plus. We're still waiting to find out more details on that. This has been a tough year for the Jays. Everything is broken against them. With Donaldson's injury and his current status, Stroman and Sanchez were supposed to lead what was supposed to be a quality rotation, and both of those guys have really had their issues. And then the Osuna stuff, which is completely out of their hands, and now they've decided we're not going to deal with it, they've moved on from him, obviously puts them, from a baseball perspective, in a very difficult position. I mean, how do you feel about the Blue Jays organization overall, in terms of what they can bring on the field, in terms of the idea of them winning and losing ball games? How do you feel about them today as an organization compared to the way you felt about them in the spring?
Well, in spring training, I remember writing and talking that everything is going to have to break perfectly if they're going to have any chance to make the playoffs, and I just didn't see that happening. And, of course, virtually everything has gone wrong, which you detailed there. So at least they're making a move now in the right direction, it seems, to distance themselves from people who they either don't think are going to be a part of the organization or they don't want part of the organization moving forward. But way bigger, also bigger decisions have to come with Josh Donaldson as free agent after the season. What do we do there? What do we do with injured pitchers? The bottom line is this is an organization that has a lot of questions to answer. But if this trade is done and becomes official, maybe they answered a question today that we're not going to have a suspended reliever closing games for us. We're going to move on from that, and maybe that should be considered progress in some way.
It's progress in some ways, but the thing that makes you wonder about the double standard here. Like, it's the Blue Jays are having to wash their hands of a guy here because he's got a matter before the courts about domestic violence that had him suspended 75 games, and yet there's another team that can happily accept his services in the same universe and not have to, feel any moral obligation. And that doesn't seem right to me if I'm a fan of the Blue Jays.
Well, I totally understand, and I'm not sure they're happily accepting anything at this point. I think they're a team that is taking a risk here. That's fairly obvious to everyone, and we'll see if this works out. Maybe it won't. Maybe the Blue Jays will end up ahead on this deal, but again, we've talked about this. This is very uncomfortable for anyone involved in this. Are we doing the right thing getting rid of him? Are we doing the right thing acquiring him? And what does this mean for baseball? It just can't be a good thing for baseball that a guy coming off a domestic dispute suspension is getting not just another job, being traded to another organization. He's going to the World Champions.
With Tim Kirkjian of ESPN, as for Donaldson, leading into the season, it was all about his status, his value, and how it's going to affect them in the future, especially with a guy like Vlady Guerrero Jr., who should be up here maybe right now, quite frankly, but certainly by next season. How do you feel about what's happened with Donaldson and his value? Because no one knows when he's coming back. He'll be 33 in December. He's finally going to be a free agent. 2 years ago, he was up for the MVP. 3 years ago, he won it. But I've talked to people in baseball who have suggested the Jays won't even offer him a qualifying offer because they'd be afraid he'd take it this upcoming offseason. I mean, how do you place value on Donaldson right now?
Well, it's really hard to place value based on what happened in the free agent market last year. But I did have a GM tell me that unless you're a great player, if you're in your early to mid-30s and you're looking for a long-term contract, you're simply not going to get it. And durability is so important. Being able to go out there is so important. And if Josh Donaldson suddenly has fallen from a premier player to a guy who has trouble staying healthy, and now he fits into that 33 years old looking for a multi-year deal and teams simply aren't paying people that money anymore given that age, I think it's his value clearly has dropped. I think that's fairly obvious, but we'll see if he comes back this year. We'll see if when he comes back, and I think he will, whether he'll be able to provide any look into what kind of player a team will get for next year. But he is falling into the wrong category here, given his age and his health.
Always appreciate you doing this. I know it's a busy time of year. Thank you, Tim.
Okay, guys. See you.
Tim Kirkchin, ESPN baseball analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Hurry into Maple Toyota during the Toyota 2018 factory event where you can get rates from 0%. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. Someone tweeting in should point out, Houston is in Toronto September 24th through the 26th. So Roberto Osuna, if he's healthy and pitching at that point, still may pitch at the Rogers Center this year.
And to be clear here, I mean, you know, we are very much open-minded about what's going on here. Roberto Osuna's case is still in front of the courts. He will be in court, apparently, August 1st, in 2 days. And his lawyer has said he will plead not guilty to this charge of assault. So that needs to be said here, because, you know, in some ways we could be accused of convicting him in the court of public opinion. He intends to plead not guilty here, but man, this is such a bad look for Major League Baseball to have this guy headed to a team that's among the favorites to win the World Series.
Well, fairly or unfairly, in the court of public opinion, he's guilty for a lot of people because baseball suspended him for 75 games.
Because he accepted that suspension.
And he accepted it, and now the Jays unloaded him.
Yeah.
And by all accounts, again, we don't know all the details, but it doesn't sound right now like they got a boatload in return. Put it this way, if he didn't go through this, and he was pitching like a rock star, and he was on the market, they would have gotten a massive haul for Roberto Osuna.
Yeah, and if you can,
and they're not going to get
that. Yeah, exactly. And if you look away from the ugly incident, which you can't do, because that's very much a part of this story, but just from a pure baseball perspective, to be very callous and just focused on the sport, which is frankly exactly what the Houston Astros are here, because they're just focused on this kid can pitch.
We believe
this kid can pitch, and we need a guy to pitch in the ninth inning, and we believe he can be our guy, and we can get him for almost nothing here. But this is a really terrible transaction for the Blue Jays. When you consider the feel-good story this guy was just a couple of years ago, as a young kid coming out of Mexico, out of obscurity in some ways, becoming the star he became, throwing the stuff he threw, being, you know, of one of those great, you know, symbols of hope for this franchise, to fall to this level, to be dumped over the side as a radioactive piece of baggage at a moment like this, it makes you shake your head if you're a fan of this team about how so many nice things, so many things you thought were nice things, from Josh Donaldson, Roberto Osuna, to Aaron Sanchez, and on down the line, they've all got red flags attached to them, and now this one is a red flag heading out of town.
It sounds as if the deal is official now. Blue Jays PR tweeting out that the Jays acquired relief pitcher Ken Giles, right-handed pitcher David Paulino, and another pitcher Hector Perez from Houston. So we'll try to get more details on Paulino and Perez. Giles is a guy who's been in the bigs. His numbers are not great this year. But we'll get you more updates and details on who these guys are and what kind of return the Jays got. It sure feels as if they decided we can't have Osuna pitch for us anymore. And you can hate on that all you want. And you can think, I just want this team to win. But I don't think you can blame the Blue Jays for coming to that decision if that's the decision they came to. I think they're willing to take that on.
Yeah.
Whether you agree with it or disagree with it, I think the Blue Jays can sit there and say, you know what, we're willing to accept the bullets that might be sent our way. We've decided we don't want this guy to pitch for us anymore, so we moved on from
him. Here's what I might not be able to accept. The idea that he can pitch for the Astros, even though this thing's still before the courts.
Well, and that's what baseball's got to figure out here. And the court system, quite frankly. You're right, because if he's guilty and they're like, actually, you're going to jail,
exactly.
Then you're not pitching for the Houston Astros.
Right, and it's, to me, you know, it's a Major League Baseball problem here, and they're, just because you move it from one market to another, it doesn't make it go away.
Doesn't go away, exactly. So Roberto Osuna traded from the Jays to Houston. We'll get you more updates on who's coming back in return. Steve Phillips will join us in the next hour with Dave Feschuk of The Star and Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. Osuna has been traded to the Houston Astros in exchange for Ken Giles and a couple of prospects, David Paulino and Hector Perez, neither of whom jump off the page in terms of expectations and stuff. But
well, I mean, Hector Perez is 22 years old. Keith Law had him as the Astros' ninth best minor league prospect this year, so before the season began. You're right. He's still in A ball.
He's
right
in A ball, and his numbers are not exactly off the charts either. You know,
Paulino is another guy that's had a checkered past. He was suspended last year, 80 games for performance enhancing drug testing violation. So apparently, his stock dropped suddenly after they had
his
suspension.
Shocking.
And so he's being, you know, dumped in this deal. And Ken Giles, as we've pointed out in the previous segment, 27-year-old guy who's a reliever.
Got a 5-year, right?
Pretty underwhelming numbers.
Yeah. Phone lines are open, too, if you want to chime in on this Osuna deal and what it means, what it represents for the Jays, how you feel about it. 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. Your calls and Steve Phillips in the next hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.